BBC News with Jerry Smith. In their biggest offensive so far against Islamic State militants, Iraqi troops and their Shia militia allies are gaining the upper hand in the city of Tikrit, much of which is now in Iraqi government hands, as Ahmed Maher reports.
Iraqi army soldiers and their allies have made it into Tikrit. They are hoisting both the national flag and the flags of Shia Islam on their Humvees. It took them nearly 2 weeks to enter the city. They are still held back in the center of Tikrit by roadside bombs and booby-trapped cars. The visit by top army generals on the battlefield is not only a show of force, but also gives the weary troops a big boost in their plan to recapture the entire city.
BBC News has spoken to some of the British nationals who've travelled to northern Syria to join Kurdish forces in their fight against Islamic State militants. Two of the men, a former soldier and a city trader, fought alongside the ex-Royal Marine Kostantinos Erik Skerfield, who was killed last week. This fighter, Jim, a former teacher, explains why he's fighting.
I don't think enough is being done about ISIS and the phenomenon that's been allowed to sort of grow monstrous and run rampant across the Middle East. I mean, the particular thing that brought me here was seeing a photo of an ISIS fighter holding up the severed head of a woman.
The World Health Organization says the current outbreak of Ebola in West Africa is now known to have killed more than 10,000 people in the three worst-affected countries. The organization said the fight against the disease was going in the right direction, but warned more needed to be done to end the worst outbreak of Ebola the world has ever witnessed. The virus appears stubbornly entrenched in parts of Guinea and Sierra Leone. The US Attorney General Eric Holder has described the recent shooting of two police officers in the racially charged city of Ferguson in Missouri as a heinous and cowardly attack. The officers were wounded as protesters rallied outside the police headquarters to celebrate the resignation of Ferguson's police chief. The unrest and subsequent protests in the city began after a white officer shot dead an unarmed black man last August. Our reporter Laura Trevelyan is there.
I'm standing right outside the police station where the two officers were shot. They have been released from hospital, although one has a bullet lodged just behind his ear. The police have been searching nearby homes for the suspects. They have taken some people into custody for questioning, although no one has yet been arrested. Meanwhile, tensions here in Ferguson are running high. People are anticipating more protests tonight in the wake of that scathing Justice Department report, which said that there was a culture of racial bias from the police towards African-American residents here.
Laura Trevelyan. World News from the BBC. 62 people, including 35 children, are now known to have died in torrential rains in the Angolan port city of Lobito. The state news agency said that in some places, floodwaters reached 3 metres, destroying dozens of houses. Rescue workers are searching for survivors. Large parts of Angola have been hit by heavy rain since January, including the capital, Luanda. Islamic State appears to have accepted a pledge of allegiance from the Nigerian militant group Boko Haram. The group has released an audio statement in which a man who claims to speak for its leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, welcomed what he called the allegiance of our brothers. He said the aim of establishing a caliphate had been expanded to West Africa and described the development as good news. The message hasn't been independently verified. Scientists at NASA say they have further compelling evidence that the largest moon in the solar system has a salty ocean beneath its icy crust, raising the prospect that life might exist on it. Their conclusions follow analysis of changes in Ganymede's colourful auroras recorded by the Hubble Space Telescope. The much-loved British author Sir Terry Pratchett has died. He was 66 and had been suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Nick Higham looks back at his life.
Terry Pratchett's Discworld filled 40 novels and a dozen other books, a magnificent comic creation which started as an affectionate parody of fantasy novels and became a vast rambling satire on modern life. He was a press officer for the Central Electricity Generating Board when he wrote the first Discworld book in 1983, and by the 1990s he was the UK's best-selling fiction writer, selling 3 million copies a year. Then in 2007 he was diagnosed with a rare form of Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's patients gradually lose their sense of themselves. In Terry Pratchett, the light died slowly and very publicly, an especial tragedy in a man who was once so brilliant.
And that's the BBC News.